This is Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. A bit of a different introduction this morning, folks. We're going to repost episode 51, which was entitled, It Was Just a Thought. And the reason why I'm doing that is that my blog post for this morning wrote about a situation that my parents found themselves in, and the title of the blog post is, It Was Fun. You see, my parents spent an entire night in an airport waiting for a flight to leave that should have left at about 7:40 at night and ended up leaving at 2 in the morning. And when you ask my mom about it, she just said, well, it was fun. You see, she's focused on being positive, and she looks for ways to be positive, and she catches herself when she starts to go down a negative path. She's learning at the age of 87 to fight the battle for her thought life. Last week at Live to Lead, Deborah Searle said the same thing. She talked about how she battled her own mind for 111 days as she rode across the Atlantic. I also thought about the recent podcast that I had where I interviewed Lisa Cavallaro and the topic of the law of attraction. I thought back then to the conversation that I had with my nephew Rob last week. And it just seemed right that we would repost Episode 51, because you see, each one of us needs to battle and fight to control our thought life. So sit back, listen to it, and hope you enjoy it again. Episode 51 of The Next Page.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And that would make me Dave Freund, and this must be The Next Page.
Must be.
It is. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific, and our listeners won't know this, but we're going to tell them, but this is take two on podcast number 51.
It is take two, and believe it or not, this is the first time in 51 episodes that we've ever redone a recording.
That's right. The first time in 11 months and 3 weeks of recording that we had to do it again. We just had a technical difficulty, a glitch.
Yep.
So here we are, less than 48 hours from when this podcast will post. So this will be the most up-to-date release. There's a positive. This is the most up-to-date podcast post that we will ever do.
Yeah.
And well, maybe not that we'll ever do.
Not yet.
That we've done in 51 tries, right?
Right. And we're looking for the positive aspects of the situation.
We are.
I know that one is also that you found more information than we had.
I did.
More research than we had the first time.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly, because every day I keep trying to learn, and I got some more things here.
Yeah.
So we can talk about what we talked about before, but we're going to talk about again, which was my post that actually is going to be released, or was released this morning,
mm-hmm.
entitled, But It Was Just a Thought, or So I Thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to share with the folks that I went through a really rough stretch, 3 or 4 weeks, where I just found myself really down, kind of miserable, and that's what I wrote about it. You know, if you would have talked to my family, they would have said, oh, you're just, my wife said to me, she goes, you're just mean. Now, I did have a little bit of an excuse. So I had gone to an ear, nose, and throat doctor and had swollen vocal cords, so he put me on prednisone. And so I was actually using the prednisone prescription as an excuse for why I was so miserable. And when I went back for my follow-up with my doctor, I said, you know, doc, you can't put me on this prednisone anymore. It made me mean. And he kind of just smiled at me and he said, well, Dave, prednisone is a hormone. And he said, it didn't make you mean. All it does is it accentuates or exaggerates the emotions that you have. He said, if you would have been really, really happy, oh, it would have made you really happy. And he said, it was just kind of showing you what was really deep down inside. Like, ooh.
That's scary.
That was awful. Mm-hmm. It was really scary because now I'm looking myself in the mirror and saying, okay, deep down inside, I'm miserable and mean. And I was really, so I was thinking about that and I was praying about that aspect of my life because that's not, I don't want to live like that. I don't want people around me to be concerned about, you know, brushing up against me and having me snap at them kind of thing. And then I came across a quote that I had written down probably 2 years ago that said, There is no such thing as a thought that doesn't have consequences. So that got me to think, so why? Because, I mean, if I were to ask you, how would you describe me? Am I a positive person or a negative person, typically?
I think you're a very positive person.
And that's what I hear from people. Uh-huh. So I was like, either I'm a really, really good actor, or most of the time, I am positive. And I knew something was wrong when I got into one of a meeting that we were supposed to have at work, and not everybody was there, and I made some snarky comment to Cindy, our COO, you know, and she was there, and I was there, but other people weren't there, and I'm like, ooh, wow, where did that come from? So that's when I realized that something was really wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I was going to dig into this topic about the thoughts that we have and the concept of negativity versus positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting. And one of the things that struck me when I looked into this and did some research is that negative thoughts are far more powerful, more potent than positive thoughts, because they were needed as we were created to react to dangers, a wild animal coming at us, a fire we needed to get away from. So positive emotions immediately strike home. The amygdala kicks in. All of a sudden, we've got all of these chemicals being released. You know, adrenaline's being released. Our brain is actually sending more blood flow to our extremities and reducing the blood flow to our brain, and we're in trouble because that's how we're supposed to react. Well, we're not getting chased by wild animals. And hopefully our fire safety has gotten to the point where we don't have quite as many home fires as we used to when we had log cabins heated by wood. But then I said, okay, so great. So negative emotions are stronger. Well, then Barbara Fredrickson, an author of the book Positivity, and there is a link in our show notes for that, to purchase that book. She said, we actually need a 3-to-1 ratio of positive thoughts to negative thoughts to just be even in our behavior.
Wow.
That's shocking.
It is. And you think about how many thoughts that you process a day.
Right. Yeah, we're processing, and I did see that number in here, and I'm not going to quote it because you know I'm not real good with details, and I'll probably quote it all wrong. But we're processing thoughts all day long, and that brings us to the point of, you know, so how do we start our days?
Mm-hmm.
One person actually said feelings of anxiety and inferiority are like a modern plague.
Yes.
You know, plagues went through mankind, you know, since the beginning of mankind. And whole societies were wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying that feelings of anxiety and inferiority are like a modern plague. So I remember asking a class last week, so where do we get our self-image from? Or, you know, what we're supposed to be like? You know, and they kind of look at me, because usually I ask the questions wrong the first time. You know, and so, you know, they're like a mule looking at a Newgate saying, huh, what did he mean? So I said, so how do you decide what you're supposed to be like? How do you decide what you're supposed to look like? How are you supposed to dress? The cars you should drive, the houses you should live in, and what you should eat? Well, it's the media.
Right. Social media.
And we all know that, yeah, social media, even big media, whatever, that, you know, television, radio, I guess there's not much print anymore. But the reality is that other people dictate to us what they believe the ideal person is. And we all know the images that we see in magazines or on even on digital media, those have been airbrushed so many times that is not a human being that is normally like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we always are comparing ourselves to a perfect ideal world that doesn't exist. So then the question is, what do we do about it? How do we begin to take control again of our life and our thought life? And we've done some podcasts where I've talked about having your daily affirmations, things like that, finding ways to build positivity into your life. But one of the things that struck me, and I wrote about it in my blog post, was I'm sitting at my desk writing that post, and all I had to do was look up, and to my left were pictures of my family, To my right on my extended monitor was a picture of my son Tim in a boat on Otisco Lake, excuse me. And I'm thinking, right there, blessings, right in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But why would I worry about an email where somebody vented about something rather than looking at these blessings and saying, you know what? I am a really blessed person. I am, you know, rich in more ways than I can count, and dwell on those things.
Right. Well, and based on the statistic that you shared about the 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative emotions, you know, if you were feeling negative about that email that you just mentioned, you would need 3 positive emotions,
right,
or positive experiences to just even out, to negate that one negative.
Exactly.
So, but what if you could build up, you know, like a store, like, you know, do this like storage of positivity in your life, right? You started to go down that path, and I wanted to complete it a little bit, but, you know,
sure,
we talk about starting your day with affirmations, or
right,
starting your day with a meditation, even if it's only 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Exercise. Go just stand in your grass and bare feet, right? That's
yes,
powerful in itself. And start kind of building up this warehouse of positivity in your life, because you can't run away from negativity. It's going to be there. It's how you process it and what you let in and who you let in that you can control. But
that's right.
But I think it's important that we mention that, because that statistic is staggering, and apparently, you know, a lot of us are starting our days the wrong way. Like you mentioned,
right,
with social media, or even just like turning on the news, and that's like really not a great way to start your day, and especially if you're logging onto Instagram and comparing your
right
life to other people, where you're only seeing a very small square of what their day really looks like.
Exactly. Or think even this way. How are you ending your day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the notes that I had in a book, and this might have been a note that I pulled out of, can't remember the book I pulled it out of, but anyways, but it said that, you know, this one counselor had 2 different people come into his office, and one decided, one had trouble sleeping, so he watched the news. And then he had more trouble sleeping. And the other person, according to the counselor, that said, it was Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his, one person that came in had spent the evening, or couldn't sleep, so he, you know, got out of bed, went in, turned on the news, went in the living room, turned on the news. The other one got up out of bed and read the Bible and was able to relax and go to sleep. So he's reading something that's affirming to him. He probably was a person of faith, so this spoke to the faith side of his life, was able to cause him to help him relax. The other one fills himself with all kinds of nonsense and issues in the world that he can't change at all by watching it. Now, I'm not saying we should, you know, shut our eyes off from the world, but figure out when you're going to look at it. This morning I had a coaching session with a coaching client who's doing an amazing job, and he literally has a job that is 24/7. And I don't know how folks do that, how they cope with it, but he's got this job. And he said, you know, his weekend was bombarded with emails and things. But last night, he said about 8 o'clock, he started getting relaxed. He was looking forward to just a good night's rest. At 8 o'clock, he hears a bang. He looks at his phone. He reads an email that just caused him to almost lose all sleep during the night. And so I suggested to him, I said, why don't you just put your, I said, is that an iPhone? Yes, it is. I said, put it on do not disturb. And then he said, well, wait, but I need to, like, if a facilities person calls me because they had a water main break a few months back, I said, you decide the numbers that go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is blocked. So if there's people like a facilities manager that needs to get a hold of you, do that. But other than that, shut it down so that you can be intentional about, like you said, building this reservoir, whatever, of positive things, and block out the negatives when you don't need it. Because you don't need it at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I've done the same thing. So let's jump back into, you know, what could we do? You talked about just standing out in the grass barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for you?
Scientifically, I'm, you know, can't really recall what I read, honestly, but I do remember reading something about the endorphins that will release if you stand in the grass barefoot. I think it's grounding. It gives you an opportunity to kind of just like take in your surroundings. I think a lot of us miss that. In our lives, and I know we can't, unfortunately, where we live. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Georgia area. They might be able to do this year round.
Sure.
But for those of us living in central New York, we can't stand in the grass year round. But I do know that when I have the opportunity to just leave my phone inside and be outside, I mean, it's a positive experience. And I think we need more of that in our lives. I think about, I mean, I'm guilty of just as much as anyone else is of, you know, being a slave to my phone and the notifications, and been really trying to cut back on the dings and the buzzes and all the things that come across my phone because they're all distractions. But I know on Memorial Day, I was able to spend the whole day. It was gorgeous. I left my phone inside in a bag. I honestly didn't even really know where it was. And I kind of just forgot about all of that. And it was it was the best day. It was such a great day. And you come back to it and it you know, just reminds you, like, none of that is really important right now. And it allows you to focus on what is important. Because we get sucked into that drama. So, you know, you open your email and, you know, something that you weren't expecting or an answer that you didn't want.
Sure.
And we get sucked into it. But when we can shift that, it's almost like we enable that. We enable the negativity to come into our lives. And like I mentioned before, you know, we need to take control of as much as we can the negativity and positivity in our life. And so we can do that by adjusting who we spend time with.
Exactly.
I know we've talked about this before. You know, if there are toxic people in our lives that are bringing us down, do something about it. Don't perpetuate the behavior, because it's not good for you.
Right. John Gordon, in his book The Energy Bus, he basically said, you know, if you got people on your bus that are negative, get them off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we sit them down, we try to get them to become positive, but if they're not going to become positive, limit the amount of exposure we have to that person, because they will drag us down. You know, one of the things that when you were talking about, you know, Memorial Day and standing outside in the grass barefoot and those type of things, you know, what came to my mind was mindfulness.
Yes.
You know, to just slow down enough to be mindful of what's going on around you. We've got a lilac, it's like a miniature lilac type thing. It looks like a little tree, but it's right by the entrance of our house. So if you come out the garage door, it's to the right. And if you go in the front door, it's to the left. But I remember the other morning when I went out to go to work, just this aroma from this bush was amazing. And I thought, because I had been working on this negativity thing, all right, Dave, take time to smell this. Take it in. I noticed yesterday when going in and out of our church, there's this bush. It's almost like a tree, but the fragrance is unbelievable. And, you know, there's no way that you could create that fragrance other than just taking the time to smell this beautiful tree that's in the parking lot at our church.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed on my way home today, driving, you know, there's some cornfields that I pass and just the color of these new corn sprouts that are probably 6 inches tall, you know, on some really dark soil because it had rained and the sun hitting it. It's colors that are just unbelievable. But I had to slow down enough to think about it. And one of the things that mindfulness does for us and the meditation can do for us is it can actually allow us to slow our brain down and empty the negative thoughts out.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have room for the positive ones. So I think part of the building that reservoir is just slowing down and thinking about it. And the other note that I had in my notes here was to write them down. You know, some folks talk about just writing down in the morning five things you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, and they should, you know, so I would suggest encouraging people, try to do it for a week and don't repeat the things you're grateful for. And then, you know, you and I've had a conversation. Are you thankful for warm water in the shower?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause not everybody has that. You know, are you thankful for the fact that you can have a great cup of coffee if you're a coffee person? Like, I love coffee, and I'm a bit of a coffee snob. I like good coffee. Well, every morning I have the blessing of a great cup of coffee, but I don't ever think about it that way.
Right.
You know, and then build things around you. Put pictures of family up. Put pictures of, I'm thinking of another one of my coaching clients that's an amazing photographer, and she goes up to the zoo, and she takes pictures of the animals. And she's got these beautiful pictures of the lions at the zoo. And one of them she's done in a black and white. And she's got them framed in her office. What can you build around you that will help you slow your brain down enough and help you focus on these blessings? Here in, I'm recording, you know, in my office at home. And I have one of my aquariums is here in my office. And I've got these two of my fish that kept spawning in my show tank upstairs, or what show tank, my display tank, I guess you call it, in our living room. So I've moved them down here into my office, and just sitting at my desk and watching these two beautiful, majestic, round fish swimming around is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it calms you down, you know, and I just start looking at, you know, how they swim. I look at their colors, patterns. They're beautiful, you know. And just take that time to do it. Because if we do this, if we are very intentional about shifting from negativity to positivity, heart rates go down, blood pressure goes down, our anxiety goes down. And then we talk about some of the new things that I had. So positivity expands our awareness, which I didn't realize. And they've done some, they've actually done some tests where they've used, for instance, if, and this made me feel really bad as a parent, if your kids didn't do well in school and you punished them for getting bad grades, and if my son Jeremy is listening to this, he's like, oh, man, did he punish me for, you know. And I didn't punish him, but I guess I did. I restricted his privileges, mm-hmm. you know. And what I actually was doing was forcing negativity into his life, which then when he did try to study, to do better. And he really was trying all the time. And he had some learning issues that we had to figure out, which made me feel even worse as a dad. But all that negativity brought on anxiety and stress in his life and made it harder for him to learn. So here he was trying as hard as he could, and I'm creating stress with negativity, which made it even harder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about, you know, companies. So, you know, it's like the old adage, the beatings will continue until the morale improves. If we're not becoming, and I love this phrase, the chief encouraging officer, CEO should stand for chief encouragement officer. You know, that senior leader, every leader in that company should be an encouragement officer. Just encouraging people, setting up the positivity. So, and because when we do, innovation increases, awareness increases. They also talked about the power of positivity in coaching in this one book that I was reading. And I'll probably, my guess is next week I'll post this book because it's going to fall into next week's post. But when executive coaches start out with a client and they ask the client, which is something that I do, give me, you know, where do you want to be in 10 years kind of thing? You know, what are your goals? What are your dreams? What would you like to accomplish in this coaching relationship? And I really encourage them to dig deep to things that have meaning in their heart. If you start on a positive note, so how do we get there? All of a sudden, ideas open up, possibilities open up, the law of attraction kicks in, and they are much more likely to achieve it than if we focused on the negative
mm-hmm.
of fixing problems. I dread it when I get a phone call. Can you please come fix my manager? You know, and the answer is not unless they want to be fixed, mm-hmm. so to speak. But I think sure. That's the key, just being that chief encouraging officer. And imagine, oh, here was another statistic. The highest, if we looked at the number one day and time of the week when suicides are committed, it's Monday mornings at 9 a.m.
It's crazy.
That's tragic. Mm-hmm. That is tragic. So that's telling me that there is such a vacuum of true leaders in the businesses throughout the world. And we know the Gallup study still shows it, that in the United States, it's costing this country $300 billion a year because we've got about 30% of our workforce engaged. Right. The rest of them are trapped in negativity.
So I mean, it's really our responsibility to look at ourselves and look in the mirror and figure out, you know, what kind of person are you at home, at work? Are you
right?
Are you positive or are you negative? And what is that doing to the whole? And imagine if you are one of those negative people. I mean, that's fine. We've all been there. I think we'll probably all be back there again at some point. Yes. You're not 100% positive or 100% negative. But if you can identify your behaviors and change them, imagine what it can do for those around you. It will be noticed.
It will be.
Because if you started, you know, like I said, I didn't even really know that you were having a rough patch a few weeks ago. I didn't notice. You've also been out of the office a lot, so we didn't interact too much. But if all of a sudden you started, you know, acting a lot more negative than normal, I would notice. Just like if someone who typically is, you know, has a negative pull on our organization was to start acting positive, I would notice. And people follow that. If you see someone that is, you know, truly just full of positivity, it's contagious. And so,
right.
Just as you said, the CEO should be the chief encouragement officer. I mean, we all can be that. It's really a decision. It's identifying where you are and deciding to be better.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the problem. Maybe I wasn't in the office and you weren't there to encourage me. I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Quite possibly.
Because, you know, when I do come into the office, I do get a lot of affirmation and encouragement from everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I did want to touch on one thing, and I don't want anybody to think that we're dismissing folks that might have a clinical issue.
Right.
You know, clinical depression is like diabetes. Mm-hmm. It's something that needs to be addressed medically, you know, with doctors, not with, you know, two people with a podcast to talk about being happy. You know, we're talking about just the average run-of-the-mill people worn down, people tired. And the other thing that I found in my studies was, think through the negative feelings. Let's say part of our negativity is we're just in debt. We need to work our way out of it. Realize that that's going to take time. Mm-hmm. When you're sick, realize that illnesses take a toll on you. The coaching client that I was meeting with this morning had back surgery in January, you know, and he's working his way through and he's doing a remarkable job of staying positively focused. But what he and I talked about were, you know, the things that we aren't perhaps going to be able to do that we used to do. Mm-hmm. I can't slalom water ski anymore. I don't like that fact. But if I tried it, I would probably blow my hip apart again. I'm not going to do that.
And you really wouldn't like that.
And I really wouldn't like that. So what do I do? Do I still love slalom water skiing? Yeah. So I'll drive the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, I can watch my boys do it. I can encourage people to do it. I can help teach people to do it. It's just not something I'm going to do right now. Mm-hmm. My client this morning had to realize that perhaps some of the powerlifting that he's done over the years, he can't do anymore because his back just won't support it. Mm-hmm. But we have so many blessings in our life, like the picture of Tim in the boat that took my hip out 3 years ago, not quite 3 years ago. So we talked about, but it was just a thought, or so I thought.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking for next week?
Daydreaming.
That'll be interesting. I wonder.
We're kind of leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm interested in your thoughts on daydreaming.
I think we don't daydream enough. And I was criticized for doing that a lot when I was in school. So hopefully when I write this post and we talk about it next week, I'll be able to say why I think we need to daydream more. Mm-hmm. So we made it. And hopefully our mic's held up.
Hopefully.
We'll know in a few minutes, won't we?
Yes, we will.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.